Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, one of the four books that speaks about Jesus' life and teaching. This is the beginning of a few weeks that we will spend in some of the stories that Jesus told, parables that are stories that have meaning or sometimes multiple meanings. And we're going to begin with chapter 13, the beginning, and then we skip down to the explanation that Jesus gives about. He doesn't always explain what he means, but this parable, he explains what he means. So, Matthew 13, found on page 13 and 14 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles, if you want to read along. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. I've actually been to the beach they think this happened at, and there's a natural amphitheater. So by Jesus coming out into the water a little bit and everybody on the hill, it was acoustically a great place for him to try to speak to everyone. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but only endures for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us this day your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all hearts here, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A syndicated newspaper columnist Sidney Harris once told the story of accompanying a friend to a newsstand to buy a paper. The friend greeted the news person courteously, and in return, he received discourteous service. Accepting the newspaper, which was shoved rudely in his direction, the friend politely smiled, wished the newsman a nice weekend. As the two friends walked down the street, Harris asked, "Does he always treat you that rudely?" "Yes, unfortunately, he does." "And are you always so polite and friendly to him?" "Well, yes, I try to be." "Oh, why are you so nice to him when he is so unfriendly to you?" To which Harris's friend replied, "Because I don't want him to decide how I'm going to act." How wise and how difficult. If we're honest, aren't we generally the greatest obstacles in our own lives? We're the ones who tend to place the problems in our own way. Aren't we often our own worst enemy, allowing the opposition of others to deter us, allowing our doubts to paralyze us? In today's story told by Jesus, attitude and choice is central. Now, I suspect that your Bible likely titles this story The Parable of the Sower. And you can understand why, for the sower is certainly featured prominently. But some have questioned whether this is actually the right title for this story. As Errol Palmer points out, the key to a parable is the twist in the plot. You need to watch out for the unexpected and surprising shift. In this particular parable, there are a couple of constants that don't surprise us. The sower is the same sower throughout the story. The seed is the same seed, the word of God, and it is sown generously. However, the variable in the story, the detail around which it turns, are the different kinds of soil that receive the seed from the sower. However, some seed falls on the path, some on rocky ground, some among thorns, some on good soil. And where the seed falls is what determines its future productivity. The seed that falls on hardened path gets picked off by birds. The seed that falls among rocks can't send down roots deep enough to survive, and so they wither and dry up. The seed that falls among the thorns is choked to death, but the seed that falls upon the ground on the good soil prospers beyond all expectation. Which is why many commentators suggest that the name of the parable of the sower might better be the parable of the four soils. But whatever you call it, it's a great image. I remember having my youth group, went back in Colorado, I think, act out this parable as part of a Bible study. And so one of the kids decided he would be the sower, and all the kids kind of created a bunch of the kids created kind of like a conga line behind him. And he would walk along and every once in a while toss a kid off here or there, and they would fall to the ground, where other kids that were birds or weeds would come and drag them off or choke them. The ones that were on the rocky ground would start to grow, but then a sun would come and they'd wither up and die. It was a wild evening, as you can imagine. Lots of drama, lots of fun. But the message that the kids took away were that what Jesus wants us to be is good soil. And if we're good soil, then we can grow and prosper. And there's a lot of truth to that interpretation. But the longer I've walked on this journey of faith, the more I suspect that this is an oversimplification of this story. For few of us are made up of only one type of soil, are we? Few of any of us are all good soil all of the time, always ready and always receptive to God. And few of us are bad soil all the time. But in fact, most of us find that at different times of our life, in different aspects of our life, we are different types of soil. There are times when we are hardened to God's word, like a path packed hard by foot traffic, the hooves of animals. Our lives become resistant to the impact of God's word. Perhaps bitterness or disappointment make us want to protect ourselves from further hurt. Perhaps our love of logic and proof cause us to resist taking a leap of faith. Or perhaps we would just rather hang on to what we know rather than open ourselves up to what might be. Whatever the reason, we have chosen to close ourselves off. God continually showers blessings upon us, but we never get past our defenses. And we're carried off before we have a chance for them to give root or to grow in our lives. On the other hand, there may be times in our lives when our souls become so crowded and we become so distracted that we pay no attention to what God is offering. We are so busy doing that we never take time to simply be. We are so anxious for quick results that we're unwilling to allow the seeds of faith, the time needed to germinate. We begin with the best of intentions. We commit or recommit ourselves to God, but then we keep trying to live the way we have always lived. We make a stab at spiritual growth, but try and keep everything the same, like a plant growing in a rock, While the seed may initially sprout, it can't take root until the rock is cracked or removed. Then there are those aspects of our life that are bound by habit, addiction, poor choices, or bad company. We want to live for God, but everything and everyone in our life seems to conspire against us. We find the fragile beginnings of a renewed life choked off by what is or by what has always been. But then there are those places and times in our life when it all clicks. Sometimes it is simply that the word comes to us in just the right way at just the right time so that we can hear it and welcome it. Faith is renewed, insight is gained, inspiration dawns, and we know that it has nothing to do with us. It is just a wonderful gift of grace. Which is not to say that there aren't things that we can do to help, to prepare ourselves for those moments when the Spirit breaks in. We could clear away some of the rocks that litter our lives. We can look honestly at the way we live our life, admit that we have been doing things that aren't really working, and finally make a break from an old way of living. Even crisis and upheaval can be an opportunity for growth, since it churns up our life like a farmer tills the soil, opening us up to possibility that something new and unexpected can break through. One common metaphor for the spiritual life is this image of a garden. While it's up to God to provide the rain and the sunshine, we till and weed, fertilize and water, and otherwise encourage growth. In our spiritual life, these tasks are often called spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices. Activities like reading scripture, praying, meditating, journaling, almsgiving, retreats, Bible studies, spiritual reading, walking labyrinths, confession, worship, song, the sacraments. All of these things help clear the field of our life and prepare the soil of our souls to welcome, receive, and grow God's word in our lives. Eugene Peterson says that spiritual disciplines are like gardening tools. You don't use all of the tools all of the time, but it's good to have a well-supplied tool shed so that whatever comes, we can work to produce growth. To help with this, beginning in September, I propose that the first Sundays of the month become spiritual practice Sundays for us. In the service, most likely most Sundays in the sermon, there will be some kind of spiritual practice introduced. And then after worship, those who want to discuss it or learn more about it can meet together and encourage each other in our spiritual growth. Trying to prepare ourselves so that when God scatters seed in our life, it can take root and prosper in and through us. Which brings us back to that sower. And the fact that maybe the headings in our Bible may have had it right after all. Because while the variable in the story are the four different kinds of soil, the surprise in the story is the sower who sows the seed in an unexpected and very unconventional manner. For what farmer tosses seed around so indiscriminately and with such extravagance? Seed costs money. And farmers tend to be frugal soils. What self-respecting farmer scatters it on the road and in the rocks or leaves weeds to grow and choke the harvest? No, first the fields are prepared, and then the seed is planted where it has the best chance for growth, except in this story. Barbara Brown Taylor observes, if it is really the parable of the sower and not just the parable of different kinds of ground, then the story begins to sound quite new. The focus is not on us and our shortfalls, but on the generosity of our Maker, the prolific sower who does not obsess about the conditions of the field, who is not stingy with the seed, but who casts it everywhere, on good soil and bad, who is not cautious or judgmental or even very practical, but who seems willing to be reaching into his seed bag for all eternity, covering the whole creation with the fertile seed of truth. That is God's part of the story. Our call is to do what we can to be ready. But in the end, it is all about God, God's gifts, God's grace, God's giving. And when God gives and we receive, the possibilities are endless. A good harvest could see a 7 or 8-fold return. But with God at work, showering our lives with possibility, not even giving up on our hardened, rocky, weed-choked parts of our lives, then anything is possible. 30, 60, even 100-fold. Hear this story told again by Barbara Brown Taylor. Once upon a time, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell among the path. The birds came along and devoured them. So he put his seed pouch down, spent the next hour or so stringing aluminum foil all around his field. He put up a fake owl he had ordered from a gardening catalog, and almost as an afterthought, he hung a couple of traps for Japanese beetles. Then he returned to his sowing, but he noticed some of the seeds were falling on rocky ground. So he put his seed pouch down again and went to fetch his wheelbarrow, shovel. A couple hours later, he had dug up the rocks and was trying to think of something useful he could do with them when he remembered his sowing, and he went back to it. But as soon as he did, he ran right into a briar patch that was sure to strangle his little seedlings. So he put his pouch down again, looked everywhere for weed poison, but finally decided to just pull the thorns up by hand, which meant he had to go back inside and look everywhere for his gloves. By now, he had the briars cleared and it was getting dark, so the sower picked up his pouch and his tools and decided to call it a day. That night, he fell asleep in his chair reading a seed catalog. And when he awoke the next morning, he walked into his field and he found a big crow sitting on the fake owl. He found rocks where they had not found them the day before. He found new little leaves of the roots of the briars that had broken off in his hands. The sower considered all of this, pushed his cap back on his head, and then he did a strange thing. He began to laugh, just a little chuckle at first, then a full-fledged guffaw that turned into a wheeze at the end when he ran out of wind. Still laughing and wheezing, he went after his seed pouch and began flinging seeds everywhere, into the roots of trees, onto the roof of his house, across his fences, into his neighbor's fields. He shook seeds at his cows. He offered a handful to the dog. He even tossed a fistful in the creek, thinking it might take root downstream somewhere. The more he sowed, the more he seemed to have. None of it made any sense to him, but for once, that did not seem to matter, and he had to admit he had never been happier in all of his life. Let those who have ears to listen hear. Thanks be to God. Amen.